than where the Mass was offered. He has well to specify for whom, you know, specifically by name, the one for whom the Mass then is being offered. And this is such a grave obligation for a priest. For example, whatever the stipend is, depending on the diocese, I never ask what the regular stipend is. What is it in Detroit, you know?
$10.
How much?
I think they just raised it to $10.
Whatever. But people give me a stipend for a Mass. Well, and they say his Mass should be set for my deceased father or my brother or whatever. Well, I am obliged on a mortal sin to offer the Mass for that intention. Otherwise, I should not take the stipend. You follow me? This is much more serious than most people realize. First of all, to have Masses offered for the souls in purgatory, to hear Masses for the poor souls. But then, to not only say have the Mass offered, but then, if it is humanly possible, to attend the Mass that is being offered. We're talking about devotion to the poor souls, offering sacrifices for the poor souls. So, prayers first in general. Secondly, Masses. Now, this is also a good idea. I tell people, when Mass is offered by a priest, he always has what we call a first intention. In other words, the immediate person for whom, say, this Mass is being said. However, there's such a thing as second, third, or fourth intentions, which do not deprive the one whom the Mass is being offered. But it's a good thing even for the priest to be informed or requested. Whatever his first intention is, that there be, call them second, third, or other intentions for which the Mass is being offered. Now, during the month of November, do you sisters pray for the poor souls? Do you have certain people that are commended to you?
Yes, Father.
Please?
Yes, Father.
Now, and do you put those names down somewhere? Please?
Envelope.
Okay, tell the rest to me there. Are they behind the curtain?
Yes, there's an envelope, Father.
Oh, there's an envelope, eh?
Yes, Father.
How big is the envelope?
It's gone.
Here's what I tell now, sisters, and if a priest, you know, asks questions, blame Father Harden. I recommend that people put them on the altar. Have you ever done that?
Yes,
Father. Sure. Because anything, because once we get to purgatory ourselves, now some of us may be so holy when we die that we won't go to purgatory. We hope. The odds are most of us really have some time to spend in purgatory. At any rate, it's a good thing to make it as specific as possible. It helps both us and it helps the priest if he knew. Now we're in New York. Whenever I said Mass in our Jesuit residence on 83rd and Park Avenue. In the month of November, there was a box with all these names, and then by the end of November, the box would be overflowing. It helps you when you say Mass to see all those names. So, to specify. And the more specific, the better. Okay. however, sacrifices. In other words, mortification. Either doing things you don't like or not doing things that you do like. You like sugar. Huh? One, two, this is November, so I'll stop at 2 teaspoons. Yeah. I'm being facetious. All kinds of mortifications. And not just in the month of November. Sacrifices. This, by the way, is divine doctrine, defined by the Catholic Church, that our sacrifices on earth do two things for the poor souls. In fact, this applies to everything: prayers, masses, sacrifices. Two things. Number one, it shortens their stay in purgatory. And secondly, it lessens the pain which they have to suffer. And both of which are very important. In other words, only God knows how long a soul may have to stay in purgatory. The story that I'd like to tell is told by my Jesuit saint, Howard Bellarmine. I may have told you this on one occasion. He has a little book on purgatory, never translated into English, in which he says that Pope Innocent III, one of the great Roman pontiffs, when he died, he appeared, I must have told you the story, to Saint Ludgardus, a German mystic. Well, the Pope appeared to her after he died, and he said, because of my negligence during my pontificate, I have been sentenced to purgatory until the end of the world. That's the Pope. So, and he asked him, would you please pray extra hard, offer sacrifices and prayers and mortification for his speedier release from purgatory. Well, she did that for 15 years. Then after 15 years, he appeared to her, resplendent in glory, and said, thanks. Instead of staying in purgatory to the end of the world, I made it in 15 years. Look, I'm quoting from a doctor of the church. So, it is both the length of time in purgatory and the intensity of the pain that, I repeat, our prayers, masses, and sacrifice reduce or lower either the time or the suffering. And I see the questions are accumulating. Thanks for the reminder. Can remarried Catholics receive the host? Oh, sure, provided. Well, that remarried can mean many things. Remarried, but first marriage was not valid. Or remarried, and the first spouse had died. But if the first marriage was valid, and remember, three conditions: sacramental marriage, valid, both have been baptized before, and the marriage was consummated. Then, if that were verified, and the person could not receive Holy Communion, unless, of course, the Church did grant what we call an annulment, declaring that the first marriage was not valid. What books are missing from the Protestant Bible? Well, the book of Esther, the book of Judith, the book of Baruch, B-A-R-U-C-H, the book of Judith.
You said that you counted.
How many? And two books of Maccabees.
Yes,
see, do we have them all?
Wisdom.
There's five.
Five. Yeah, what's more?
Wisdom.
Daniel?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Book of Wisdom and Ecclesiasticus. Thanks, Daniel. Thanks. It's kind of students I like when they help the teacher. Okay. And those are very important books. Is that why the English Mass says during the consecration, for all unto the remission of sin, to counteract the Protestant belief that Christ only died for certain people? Yes. Yes. For all. Christ dies for everybody. And not just for those who are predestined to be saved. Yes. Can pious practices such as sprinkling graves with holy water also help the poor souls? Yes. Yes. Then what you can do every time you make the sign of the cross. Now, say, today's signs of the cross will be for the poor souls. As he called Saint Good what? Not sure what this.
That was about Pius the Third. I couldn't understand the saint, Father. The name of the saint.
Let me put this up. Let me keep this on. Okay, now.
What was the name of the saint that Pope, or that the Pope appeared to?
Oh, Lutgardis. Lutgardis. Saint Lutgardis. She's a woman. A woman saint. Saint Lutgardis. So I pray a lot for his soul. Oh, pardon me. My daddy was a Protestant. He died. I've been praying for him to come out of purgatory because I believe he had to go there. I don't want him to appear to me while he is in purgatory. So I pray a lot for his soul. So do Protestants go to purgatory? Sure do. Anybody who dies in the friendship of God but has not been completely cleansed. Okay? Yes. Keep praying. In the Latin. Oh, you might. Yeah. What's his first name?
Baker.
Baker?
Baker.
B-A-K-E-R. B-A-K-E-R. Okay. Baker. I remember that. Sure. Can the saints in heaven pray for the souls in purgatory? Or only for the living? Yes. That's why we have the communion of saints. In other words, and this will bring out things because the subject of purgatory is a whole course. And we're on purgatory today because my notes are missing. So, yes. The poor souls can pray for us. We should invoke the poor souls. We can pray both for them and to them. They can pray for us, the saints in heaven. They also pray for the poor souls. And they also pray for us, saints in heaven. So it's a three-way deal. Yes. My sister in Fairfax, Virginia, wanted to have masses said for her children, but the policy in the Arlington Diocese allows only one intention said for Mass. So is if someone is signed up, you cannot have a Mass said. What did the church say? Yeah, knowing the Bishop of Arlington, we're good friends. I'll take this with me and I'll find out. That should be corrected. I'll call up the bishop. Bishop Keating. In Detroit, I was giving a class on purgatory, and somebody said that in Fairfax, Virginia, that's in your diocese, she won Mass said for her children, but the policy in the diocese allows only one intention said for Mass. Bishop Keating, is that true?
Father Harden, the reason for that was because it didn't want to look like it was a money-making business. You know, if you pay $5 or $10 for a Mass, if lots of people had Masses said, then it would look like you're trying to make money from Masses. That was what she was told.
Oh, may I? Now, what was it? Now, did she want to have more than one Mass said?
No, she wanted to have Mass said, but she couldn't because somebody had already signed up for a Mass.
Oh, I get it. So somebody had signed up for a Mass, and so she was told that she couldn't.
She could not have. She wanted Mass said today for her children.
Yes.
Who died today, and when she went to sign up, they said you cannot sign up because somebody already has the Mass this morning.
Of course, that's understandable. In other words, examples today. Mass at the university. But last week and again next week, I'll be having Mass at the parish church. And each day, there's usually some deceased person. Well, I cannot add, now when I've got a Mass said, whatever the name is, say, John Smith. Well then, if it says, say, Master John Smith, I cannot add other people. For that, it's called first intention. So in other words, the stipend goes for just one particular intention. However, did I misread this then? Only one intention said per Mass. Well, that part is correct. So that is the church's teaching. Now, what should be done? Well, there are two things that need to be done. Number one, not every priest says Mass every day. Pray that every priest in the Catholic Church will say Mass every day. So this could be taken care of if every priest said Mass every day. That's one thing. But secondly, in countries not as wealthy, say as the United States, there are priests. India is one place where priests may not be getting, depending on the diocese, of course, well, Mass intentions for every day. And this is the way they support themselves. So anytime you want Masses offered or said, let me know. See, I turn in my Mass intentions for Masses that I cannot say because I'm always booked up ahead of time. But then I turn my Mass intentions in and the money that is given to me, and then the Mass is offered either by other of my fellow Jesuits or they're sent, say, overseas. And for thousands of priests, the Mass that they offer is their principal source of support. In Latin America, I know there are priests in Latin America that survive on Mass intentions. And now in Russia, where the ruble has just dropped to almost a vanishing point, a dollar is worth a lot of money, so to speak, in Russia. So, and this, by the way, could be even organized in such a way that Masses that want to be said would be said, not necessarily at the church where you belong, but you would even find out when the Masses would be offered, by whom and where, and then deduct how many hours you have to, or add whatever the time change may be. So So I misunderstood the question. That's correct, by the way. Since we can hold, is there another side to this? Oh. My sister-in-law suffered a miscarriage yesterday. I'll pray for the soul of her baby. Are the souls of the unbaptized among the poor souls, although in limbo, not in purgatory? Well, we may say yes. I mean, we may say. We are not absolutely sure. Church has never formally taught that for certain. Those who die before their birth, unbaptized, we are not absolutely sure that they then will reach heaven. We are sure they will not suffer. We are not sure whether they will go to what we call limbo. We are sure they will not go to purgatory. So the unbaptized, unborn children who die will certainly not go to purgatory. They may go to limbo or they may go to heaven, and that the church has never officially taught, never formally taught, that there is heaven for certain for those who die without baptism. Am I clear? We may say they might go to heaven. We cannot say for certain they will go to heaven. We can say they will not be unhappy. Since we can merit for the poor souls and they for us, they cannot exactly merit for us, but they can pray for us. Isn't that a good reason for non-Catholics to join the church and the communion of saints? It sure is. You're better off in this life, you're better off for the life to come. It's good business. Could you please tell us a little about Opus Dei and about Monsignor Escriva? Has he been designated a blessed? Yes. The founder of Opus Dei has been beatified. In fact, this year. Opus Dei, as I'm sure you know, is a prelature. That's the term. The people who belong to Opus Dei are, first of all, bishops and priests. They are called a prelature because, unlike all other religious orders, like the Jesuits or the Benedictines, in the Opus Dei, they have a right, their bishops have a right to consecrate their own men. In other words, they are not immediately or directly under the jurisdiction of the bishops where they do their apostolic work. Many reasons, some you can guess immediately. They are immediately, therefore, under the Pope. It gives them freedom in dioceses that others do not have. Am I still clear? Okay. This must be 5 years ago. I was teaching in Washington, but commuting between New York and Washington each week. And that week, Sunday, the New York Times, the whole issue, the magazine section, was devoted to the Jesuits. Well, the article was about the Jesuits. Picture of a Jesuit standing in St. Peter's, in front of St. Peter's Basilica. But Opus Dei was throughout the article, comparing the Jesuits to Opus Dei. Well, there was so much discussion in the community about that article, and they actually called a meeting of the whole community to discuss that article. And we talked for about an hour. And they talked about Opus Dei, comparing the Opus Dei with the Jesuits. And I kept discreet silence. Finally, my superior said, John, you must know something about Opus Dei.
Yeah.
Sure, I know something about Opus Dei. And Sister Sophia told me to say something, I did. Is when I said, Opus Dei is what the Jesuits should be. And, yeah, that was the end of the meeting. At any rate, they're straight. A lot of critics, as you know, many enemies. Most Catholics, Catholic wakes and funerals that I have gone to, that it seems to be canonized, people pray to rather than for them. That's all wrong. Absolutely wrong. My gosh. For a few minutes, you know, eulogy, praising a person, that person is being deprived of the prayers and sacrifices. So I'm going to say this one. Here's the promise of divine mercy given to Sister Faustina, that those who go to Mass, confession, and receive Holy Communion remit all punishment due to sin. Also, could you explain the same for plenary indulgences? Yes. In fact, it just opens up a whole library. First of all, yes, going to Mass, confession, and receiving Holy Communion can remove all punishment due to sin. And one of our laudable ambitions for all of us should be to pray so much, so fervently, live such lives of sacrifices that we will never go to purgatory. So, yes. Of course, we've got to be, as you know, very sincere and generous in following God's will. Now, regarding plenary indulgences, as a subject all by itself, let me finish these questions, see what I can say if there's time left. I told you about my sister's two children dying in an accident. Would children go to purgatory also for a period of time? Yes. Yes. Depending, of course, on their state of soul. Can you offer the plenary indulgence to be applied to poor souls in purgatory? Yes. And they've come up with the same question. Let me handle this one and back to this. Would you explain Calvin's teaching on the souls of the saved being, quote, frozen in suspended animation? Well, Calvin's idea was, since they denied purgatory, denied merit, that when a person dies, the soul, of course, leaves the body. The body, of course, decays, but the soul is, well, in, I like the term, suspended animation. It's not conscious. Well, that's a clever theory to deny a whole library of Catholic teaching. In other words, see, they don't pray to saints. And of course, when you find, for example, and now they do have some Protestant churches, St. Francis, or St. Matthew, or St. somebody else. Well, that's a good sign because they're not fully Protestant anymore. Because there are no such things as, we call them, souls. There are no saints. Who's in heaven? Well, God is in heaven. Who else? Well, the angels. Who else? Nobody else. There are no saints. Now, when we pray, you know, we invoke, even Our Lady, how hostile they were in 1950 when the Holy Father was going to define Old Eddie's assumption. So now I asked to give a series of conferences over the Vatican Radio in Rome, defending the Old Eddie's Bodily's assumption before she was actually defined on November 1st, 1950. So, since they deny that the soul remains conscious after death, they can have no saints, because the saints in heaven are already the souls, right? Saint Francis, Saint Ignatius. Body of Saint Ignatius is not yet in heaven, right? The only saints whose body we're sure is in heaven is the body of whom?
Yeah,
Our Lady. Okay. So, now regarding indulgences, we cannot gain an indulgence, strictly speaking, gain an indulgence for another living person. We can gain an indulgence, either partial or plenary, for ourselves. Or we can gain a partial or plenary indulgence for the souls in purgatory. And to gain a plenary indulgence for a soul in purgatory, provided the conditions were fulfilled, would then mean, it's in God's hands, that a soul will be delivered from purgatory. Now, for ourselves, we gain a plenary indulgence, if we gain it, in such a way that if we died the moment we had finished whatever was required for the plenary indulgence, if we then died, we'd go straight to heaven. So, yes, no, we can, but we should. And we can gain one plenary indulgence each day. And I think it is. I think we covered the questions. It's also 3 o'clock. And then next week, next Tuesday, I'll be in Detroit. And we'll continue with our conferences on the Holy Eucharist. If there are any more questions on purgatory or connected issues, don't hesitate to put them in the box for next week, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin. St. Elizabeth of Hungary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.